Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners on this first Sunday of the new year. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Life is often very confusing. In the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, do you ever wonder where God is? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, as we begin a new year, we begin with confidence, for we know that you have promised that you would be with us always. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can know that you walk right beside us, even though at times it seems as if we wonder where you are. Speak to our soul today through your word. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith, where there is faith, and where there is only doubt, create faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt. There he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." Here ends a reading of the Gospel.
Life for a look at the same.
Friends in Christ, sometimes we have trouble making sense out of God's plans for our lives. I have to admit that I do. It is only after, in retrospect, I can look back and see how God has moved. And His plans have been very specific. But where I was, confronted with the problems or whatever they may be, I did not always know what He was doing. And I sometimes, in my prayer life, would say, God, it just doesn't make sense. Now, I believe that the Virgin Mary and Joseph would shout a loud amen to that statement. For certainly those two young people from time to time did not know what God was up to, I'm sure. For example, we've just gone through the Christmas season, and probably you've had enough of the story, but how can one ever tire from it? Let's go back to this first Sunday in the new year and see if it has something for us here as we look ahead and wonder what the weeks and the months and the years will bring. Here was Joseph and Mary. As far as we know, they were fine young people. If we can put them into our situation today, they might have been very active in their synagogue. Could have belonged to the youth group. Might even have gone on a mission trip if they had had such a thing as that in those days. But in the midst of all of this, these two very fine moral characters get a word from God through the angel Gabriel. And you know what it is. You've heard that many times now during the last weeks. Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary, astounded, shocked, angered, probably said, impossible. I am not that kind of a person. I am a virgin. And the angel replies, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I'm not only going to have a baby, Mary said, but the baby that I have will be the Son of God in that particular way that is correct. And I'm sure that that poor young lady could only shake her head and say, I don't understand, but I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Marvelous statement of faith. God had given a promise. That promise Mary did not doubt. What she couldn't understand how it was all going to transpire. Now here's another step. They settled down and the child was being created in the womb of Mary. And then it was that they had to go up to Bethlehem. Because Joseph was of the lineage of David, and they were taking an enrollment, and everyone had to go to his county seat. So David and Mary went. And it was nearly time for her to deliver. Now, I'm putting some of these things in because I have to do that when I see these people who are so real. And as they went along the way, I can hear Joseph say, well, I'm sure the Lord's going to take care of us real good, Mary. Tonight you're going to have a good room in the inn. And then he came out and his face was very depressed. And Mary said, what's the matter? He said, there isn't a room in that inn. And I tried to plead our case and began to tell him some of these things. And he said, well, you look like a fine young man. There's a manger out there. Why don't you go out and have your wife or fiance or whatever the poor man thought there at the desk, or whoever she was, and there you can stay. And there they stayed, out there with the straw and the cattle and everything else. And finally, the child was born. I can't help but believe that Mary must have wondered, as she was going through the labor pains and all the rest, why in the world, if he is a son of God, does God have his son being born out here with cattle? Where is he? But that night passed too, and so they went on, and on the eighth day they had the child circumcised and then presented in the temple, as was the ritual of the Jewish communion. And then they had settled down when suddenly God communicates with them again. And this time it's another angel, and the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. He says to him, "Joseph, get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. And you stay there until I tell you to go home. For Herod is going to search for the child, and he's going to kill him." Joseph had to go back and tell Mary this. And Mary really begins to wonder, what's going on here? He's the son of God, and that sick old king out there is able to kill him? The conversation must have been very, very weird. I can't help but believe there was a conversation between Joseph and Mary as they traveled to Egypt. They had evidently hooked up a donkey or two. Maybe Joseph had one too, I don't know. But they were going along the paths, and as I scale that map out, it must have been about 100 miles at least from where they were to where they were going in Egypt. It wasn't unusual that God had told them to go to Egypt, because in that land there were many little Jewish groups, neighborhoods, and there they could pick their own. Maybe they had somebody who had gone to Egypt and they were friends and they could share these times together. But again, whenever there was a conversation, you can be sure that Mary and Joseph had to ask, I wonder what God is really doing. He's given us a promise. We believe it with all of our hearts. Some of their friends might have thought they were crazy. But Joseph and Mary never doubted it for a moment. No, sir, this Christ, he was the Son of God. And Mary was going to give birth to him. But why all of this? What's going on? First the unannounced pregnancy, then the manger, then fleeing to Egypt. Had God really been heard clearly? It was a question, where are you, God? What are you up to? What is the situation that mother had to ask again and again? She answered it, we know. She asked it many times, but we know when the boy was 12 years of age. They went up to the temple. You recall that story very well. Some real interesting stories to share with a family and to share with your children. 12 years old, and Jesus sat in the temple there, astounding the great theologians as far as his biblical knowledge was concerned. What is God up to? Where did that son of ours get all of this insight into the divine teachings of God's holy word? And then they went home, and somewhere is between 12 and the age of 12 for Jesus and 30 when he began his ministry, it appears that Joseph has died, so Mary is alone. And now they were there in Nazareth. Jesus had gone into the synagogue to worship, and when it came that time in the service that a person could stand up and read and expound on the prophecy, Jesus did just that. And finally there, this was his coming out day, he said to those people assembled there for worship, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your midst." I am the Christ, he said. And the people were astounded, and they asked such silly questions as, isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? And they got so angry at him, they were going to throw him out of the town, kill him if they could. And Mary thought, this is my son. All these years he's been the carpenter, and all went along well, but now this comes up again, and they're going to kill him. Where are you, God? There is a real lesson here as we study Mary's life. How often do we not ask, where is God in our difficult times? Don't you ask that, friend? Now be honest, it is not any reflection on your faith. You believe the promises, but you don't know how they're all going to work out. I don't either. I can't imagine how some of the things would ever be worked out by God in my life. But as I look at it in retrospect, there I see him right away. Let me tell you the story of a lady who must have asked many times, where is God? If there is a God, where is he? She lived in the same town that I live in. Her husband was a member of the Iowa Highway Patrol. And it was one Sunday afternoon that they were doing what the patrolmen call using the airplane. A pilot would be clocking the motorists as they went down the highway. And then he would radio down and tell them, well, this one is going 90 miles an hour. And so the patrolman would wave him down and give him a ticket. Well, this patrolman on the ground was a good friend of one of my friends. And on that terrible Sunday afternoon in June of 1985, Charlie was hit by a motorist and killed instantly. The news came around, and it wasn't long before I got a telephone call in our home, and it was my good friend, a patrolman, and he said, we've had a terrible accident in our community today, and my best friend on the highway patrol was killed by a motorist. We're now having to begin to make plans for a memorial service, and I just wondered if they could use our church. We have a large auditorium. And I said, by all means. And then there was a hesitancy, and my friend said, besides that, would you officiate at the funeral? And I said, well, that isn't necessary at all. Why don't your friend's pastor come and have the service? He's the one who knew him best, and I think that it would be much more fitting. And when I was all done expounding, my friend, the highway patrolman, said he doesn't have a church. I said, well, in that case, I will be honored to have this service. The day of the service came. There were 1,350 people at that worship service, that memorial service. It is the largest funeral that I have ever had. People of high stature were there. The governor was planning to have been there, but he couldn't make it and sent a representative. So I tried as best I could to proclaim God's love for his people, tried as far as we could to speak to the widow, prepared a little scripture reading for her that said, in the 121st Psalm, Joyce, you can hear these words, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth. And another one that said, be still and know that I am God. Well, after that, I did some preaching, and and we went out to the cemetery. Hundreds of people at the cemetery. And then finally, we had to go home. I can't help but believe, and I don't know if it was on that particular day, but whether it was on that ride out to the cemetery from the church or whenever it was, that Joyce herself not a well person, suffering from an incurable disease, must well have thought, what am I going to do? I have no children. I have a wonderful old mother, but she's getting older. I have siblings, but they have their own affairs. What am I going to do? And she remembered that the old preacher there, or I wasn't so old in those days, had said that God could give me strength and God could be with me and God would walk with me. How does that all happen? Where are you, God? The same question that the Virgin Mary asked, not questioning his promise, but where are you now? What are you going to do? And she had a lot of questions, and they were all answered in the course of time. You know what happened? Two ladies who knew the Lord from our church came and began to conduct a Bible study for this dear soul. And they took her step by step. They told her that she was created in the image of God. She was precious and important in his eyes. But she was a sinner, like all the rest. They were sinners too, sinners that were gathered together to see what God would do. And then they said, God loves us so much, but in spite of our sins, he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus suffered and died on the cross of Calvary and paid the price for our sins. And Joyce, if you will confess your sins and trust Jesus, you will be saved and your sins will be taken away. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit took those two women and used them as his instruments. And Joyce and her mother came to faith in Christ. And 4 years later, when she died herself, she had the answer to these questions. I now know how God was with me. Friend, that's the promise. That's the promise that we have. We can ask our questions, and we cannot manufacture our own homemade ideas that we would like to have. No. We wait for God. And God answers our questions. I wonder where God is. He's right there by our side. He is the one who has said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. There is no place in the Bible where Joyce at that particular time was specifically told how God would walk with her. He just told her. And when she was dying herself, she could lift her eyes heavenward and say, I understand now. Sometimes we have to look back and see the hands of God, and then we can look forward into his face and say, what a Savior. He's going to take me to heaven. Amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy king.
Lord Jesus, it is with comfort that we enter into the new year, sometimes a bit afraid because we do not know what's going to happen. But we thank you for the promises that you have given to your children, that you are with us always. We thank you that we have heard it sung so well, Thou didst leave thy throne and come to this earth. And so may we know that where we do not understand today, one day we will understand. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has brought strength and comfort for the week ahead. As we look forward to a new year, we extend special thanks to all those who supported this ministry with their financial gifts during the past holiday season. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Pastor Larson, our executive director and board president, as well as other interesting information concerning the ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call, write, or email our office. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusaders sermons are available as well. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.